It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish.
The Astros lose yesterday. Spencer Arrighetti, it was a rough one for him. And maybe that's what we're going to see from him going forward, where he's going to be good and then bad. He was really good in his last start before yesterday. Didn't meet that standard. And it happens. 24 years old, and it's a weird spot to be depending on him, considering what we thought this rotation would be. But the reality is there are plenty of guys and spots that we didn't expect. And he is probably at the forefront right now when we think about really only having four starters and leaning on the bullpen to get you through a game until you find reinforcements, whether that be through a trade or through guys just coming back. And he was on the mound yesterday. And after the Astros took care of the Blue Jays in game one of the series, we didn't get that type of result. The bats woke up late. The score was 7-0. And I talked about it in the first segment of the show that this Astros team until recently hadn't fought back in games where their pitching hadn't kept them in it. It generally was, okay, if the pitching's going to give up a couple runs early, it felt like the game was over. And they kind of showing what they are now. They got it within a run. Pena, I think he led off the top of the ninth with a double. Just couldn't push him across. If I remember correctly, it was Loperfido, then Cabbage, and then Altuve who flied out the center to close out the game. So you played really well. The Mariners lost, so didn't hurt you at all. You're three games back in a really good spot considering what you were just about 2 weeks ago now. So you lose that one, you move on, and you hope the Mariners keep losing. Boy, if they struggled. And are they regressing to what they were supposed to be this year? You can hope so.
Yeah, it might not matter that the Astros only have four starters.
Yeah.
And someone pointed this out, that the Mariners GM before, or last offseason, this past offseason, was talking about how their goal is to win 54 games, or 54% of their games for the next decade. And everyone's like, wait, shouldn't it be a little bit higher than that? Like, shouldn't it be aiming a little bit higher? Like, a couple of these are going to win 65? Nope, 54 every year. And right now, as it stands, their winning percentage is exactly 54%.
His reasoning was, we're not going to do things to I guess, screw with the future or screw. What was it? Because I thought they were asking about maybe aggressiveness or what they want to be.
Yeah, it was about, like, kind of going all in.
Yeah, and he said, well,
Or not even going all in, because they missed the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
But it's like trying to add to this roster. And he was like, I want to maintain flexibility at all times.
And he picked a rather mid number to achieve as far as winning percentage. It wouldn't evoke confidence in anyone that the guy running your club wants to be at a 54% winning percentage.
Yeah, I think that's a situation where, yeah, that's 87.5 wins.
You keep the quiet. You said the quiet part out loud. You just keep that to yourself. You say something else other than, don't put a number on things.
Just
you
lie and say 90 wins.
Or just say, yeah, 90 wins sounds, it's not much better.
But it sounds much better than,
then you start doing the math, 87, okay, but 54% sounds, you just want to win just barely over half your games?
Yeah, you want to be three games over 500?
Yeah,
five games under 500?
That sounds terrible. You said you want to create a franchise and a team that is hovering around 90 wins every year. That's a reasonable thing, but you don't want to put it in that way.
Yeah.
It just makes you sound like you're just, we're happy to be here. We're happy to not be terrible. We're happy to compete.
Sell some hot dogs.
Yeah, happy to compete. You know, we'll have another City Connect uniform you can buy. It's cool.
Yeah.
We make those. They're pretty cool.
I do understand the value of just, again, what we went through in this city with the Rockets with the Texans and a decade Astros, ago with
yeah,
the Astros.
That was bad, yeah.
Where I understand the value of like, hey, what if we're just kind of good for a while? Just to, again, just to keep people interested in this game we call baseball. Again, you got, because it makes it seem like you want to win 87
like
games
you have no real...
every year. Where it's like, I get, maybe there's a year you win 100, and then there's a year you win 75, and that kind of, that's not what it sounds like. It sounds like you want to be the third wild card every year.
Yeah, you have no real aspirations of having the best team in baseball. You know, you just want to hang around. And hanging around is just okay. Of course, taken out of context, that sounds bad. But it is what he said. And I imagine if he got to talk about it again, he would maybe change the percentage. Or not even use a percentage. Just talk about being competitive and you can make certain moves that can remove your ability to stay competitive
he's
down the line.
He's going to stand on business.
10 toes down.
Yeah, he's gonna point at today's standings where they're at exactly 54%.
See, first place.
Like, mission accomplished.
Yes. And now we just have to hope the Astros continue to play below the expectations, and maybe that 54 will work out for you. I would say they're pretty close in that rearview mirror already. Maybe you want to step it up if you're the Mariners, and we hope you hover around the spot for the rest of the year, and we expect the Astros to overtake you at some point, but not by the end of July. That's for my own personal thing. I don't need what would come if a certain person is right about their prediction.
Stay within striking distance another 28 days.
Yeah, it feels
29.
That feels like a stretch the way the Mariners are playing. But you know, maybe they'll turn it on. I'm not hoping they'll turn it on, but in the back of my mind, I hope they turn
it on.
You
have the All-Star break, so you have like 4 days of just running out the clock.
Yeah,
that's you running the ball on first down just to like, okay, keep the clock moving.
Yeah, and throwing short passes to keep the clock moving.
Yeah, I'm a screen pass on third and eight, and your fans are booing, but you're like, it's more important just to run time.
I'm an overmatch FCS school, and I just need the clock to keep running to keep my players from getting beat up. Let's keep the clock moving. Run the ball, short pass on third down, punt. Take all the time in the world.
You're playing field position right now.
Because it's a little hairy right now as far as avoiding that particular scenario. What? But hey, if the Astros overtake them, they do. Look, being in first place is better than being right, I guess. Kind of. I'm still debating that, actually.
If they finished in first place, that
yeah,
would
I don't
be
mind
better.
Them finishing in first place. In fact, I hope they finish in first place. I just don't need them to get there by July 31st.
Yeah, because they can get there by July 31st and then fall back.
Yes, and if you don't know,
that's the worst possible outcome.
Yeah, and if you don't know what we're talking about, John Granato, when the Astros were 10 games back, said by the time July was over, they'd be in first place. And these last 2+ weeks have made that a real possibility, and in some people's eyes, maybe a likelihood, considering how the Mariners have played. They've got Baltimore again. The Astros have Ronel Blanco, who needs to bounce back from his performance in New York. He was not good. The Blue Jays will throw Kikuchi out there. Ronel Blanco's, if we're just simply going by the season, certainly has been a better pitcher this season. So the Astros have the advantage there. But it's baseball, so you never know. But they do have, to this point, really before the Hunter Brown resurgence, clearly the best pitcher in the rotation. Now Hunter Brown may stake a claim to that, if we want to call it a distinction right now, considering how he's pitched. But overall, throughout the year, Blanco's been their best pitcher. It would be nice to see him bounce back from the outing in New York where he overall just was not good. So Astros, Blue Jays tonight, 6:07 start. That's the first pitch, and we'll see if they can get back to 2 games above 500, or do they fall back to 500as we get closer and closer to the All-Star break? So we'll keep track, obviously, and it'll be 4 days. Now, the question for you, Sean, is since we have the show has the next 4 days off, 2 because of the holiday and 2 because, you know, we don't work on Saturdays and Sundays, at least this show overall doesn't work Saturdays and Sundays. Sean does do the bullpen.
Not this week, though.
Well, the Astros, they would need to kind of sweep, and the Mariners would have to completely botch the rest of the next 4 games. Will the Astros be closer to first or further from first than they are now by the time we come back on Monday?
Okay, so the 3 games back today,
yes,
as we speak right now.
When we start our show,
how many games do they play every day? They do play every day.
When we start our show on Monday, 10 a.m., well, maybe 10:05, considering how long the bench goes, or the John and Lance go, will the Astros be closer or further from first?
They will be
closer. Or you could say same. That's option, no too.
Fun. And that's the hardest one.
Yes.
Closer. I think they'll be, I don't know, two games back? One game back?
So they'll gain a game over the next four.
Yes, because just looking at the schedule, the Mariners have two more against the Orioles, and then they get the Blue Jays coming to Seattle, taking over their stadium probably. And the Astros have the Blue Jays, common opponent, and then they go to Minnesota. That's pretty tough. So they're going to have to make it up. They're going to have to make it up the next 2 days, really.
Okay. So what happens over the next two, we hope Baltimore has gotten out of their funk.
I don't know. The Mariners might just lose every game. I don't know.
It's possible. They played really poorly.
That team stinks.
They played really poorly, and as maybe was projected, they're playing to the level that they should have been playing to all along. And to be honest, maybe they're just a 54% win club like they're – GM wants them to be, and the Astros are simply the ones keeping them in first place because of the way they played. The Mariners may just be this type of team, and they'll be floating around this record the rest of the way. You can certainly hope so, because we expect the Astros to continue to play better and overtake them. So, closer to first, I will say, I will agree. I will say they're within a game by the time we come back. The Mariners stink.
Yeah, like even playing Toronto, it's like I'm not confident that they'll win two out of three against Toronto.
No, hell, Toronto has been it. Well, we know they won yesterday, and they're in the game 2 days ago against the Astros too. So it's not like Toronto's that soft of a touch when they're certainly competing with the Astros. So yeah, you're right. There's nothing that says Seattle's just going to run all over the Blue Jays when they see them. So I'm gonna go within a game, and then we'll have a very arrogant person sitting in a seat from 7 to 10 talking about how right he is. That's unfortunate for all of us, particularly me. We got a couple more segments to go here. We'll come back with some Texan stuff. Mostly they're comparing them to the rest of the league as far as young talent. ESPN did an article ranking the young talent on each NFL team. We'll tell you where the Texans rank. We may hear from Will Anderson as well. He discussed expectations. He was with Rich Eisen. We played some sound from him yesterday. He also talked about the expectations for this team compared to what the outside expectations are. And so, everyone thinks the Texans team has a real shot to be good. What do the Texans themselves think? And are they affected by the predictions they're hearing across the league? We'll discuss that. We'll also get into some college football stuff before we wrap it up. We'll be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we will get to the Texans and where they rank as far as top rosters when it comes to young talent. But first, someone, and by someone I mean Pena, needs help with a dilemma. And you know what? If you need us to solve something for you, I'd say call someone else because we're clowns. But if you do want our help, 713-780-3776. Pena, what's your dilemma?
Hey, what's going on, Dale?
What's up?
Man, look. Check it out. It's a big dilemma. It's a huge one. So my family, they have a trip planned out to Galveston on the weekend that NCAA football comes out. I need some help, man. I need an excuse to stay home. Should I tell them I got diarrhea or something? Just help me out, please.
Well,
let me have a great day.
Oh, I was going to ask you some questions about this, where you're going. But he hung up. So there are some questions. Like, Sean and I have had this discussion on and off air. Initially, I was going to take that week off. Oh, by the way, apparently the game's going to come out if you get early access, not even on the 16th, on the 15th. I don't know if the 4 p.m. is set for the West Coast or the East Coast, but 4 p.m., don't know exactly the time zone, the game will be available if you have, if you've bought the deluxe edition.
It's like 4 p.m. Australia time?
Yeah, something? I don't know. I just saw July 15, 4 p.m. It'll come out earlier than we even thought.
I was thinking like 11 p.m., but okay.
4 p.m. So
Sean, I got to hustle back that on that Monday.
Sean is taking the day off. I, or the week off, excuse me. I would have taken the week off, except I've got two loud, annoying people I work with that would win any argument we would have going forward if all they said was, oh, didn't you take a week off to play a video game? I can't have that. So I'm, and also, you know what? I leave here at like 12:40. I have plenty of time between the next. Yeah. I have plenty of time to go home, and I get home like at 1:30. I have plenty of time.
You're just going to need an extra energy drink.
Yeah, that's all.
Instead of a nap.
Yeah, that is all. So I have come to the realization that I can save that vacation week for something else. So, but Pena, he is going to Galveston. The question is, where are you staying? Like, if you're staying at a place, like if you're renting a place that has a TV, I'm assuming that you would. You can play to the
Airbnb.
You can bring the PS5 with you and play. Download it at home and then go play.
He did say that they're staying that whole weekend. Though, did he say that they're staying that whole weekend in Galveston?
He said they've booked the trip to Galveston the week or the weekend that the game comes out. Now, the game comes out. I guess he's not getting early access because the game comes out the 19th for people who aren't. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
And it's not the most.
I thought my mic was off.
It's not the most insulting thing because Pena is also a guy who he called in when Raheel was still working here. He would call in during that show, and we would ask, or at least about like 11 o'clock, where are you going, man? How come you're always in a car? Because sometimes you get stopped by a train. And he said he was going to lunch, and Raheel just reverted to calling him Fat Boy because he went to go to lunch that early. So Broke Boy is probably not the worst thing he's caught when he's called this show, just being a guy who listens. Sorry, Pena.
It's an extra $30 to get out of
it. Hey, man, maybe he decided it's not worth it.
Don't
go to
Chipotle for 2 days.
Well, that's another thing he got caught with. That was dropped on him, too, because, you know, Fat Boy. But insult aside, if we're trying to help him.
Yeah,
remember, we're trying to help the kid or the grown man. If the game comes out on the 19th, which is what? Is that a Thursday? Friday. That's a Friday, right? So he's getting it on a Friday, and then he's going on that trip on the weekend. You either know about the facilities and you got a TV, just take your PlayStation or Xbox and you're good.
Yeah. It's same thing if it's a hotel.
Hotel, same way. You can make that work. Or we have to make an excuse. And the first question is, how much do you love your family?
Yeah.
Would the excuse that you're not feeling well and you're disappointing them matter to you? Would it matter that you're disappointing them and you're not there? These are the things I wanted to know, but you hung up.
It also helps that they're going to Galveston.
It's not that far away.
Not that far away.
It's not that big of a trip.
Also, not like a once-in-a-lifetime destination.
Yeah, it's freaking Galveston.
Yeah. Let Charles Barkley tell it, you know.
Dirty-ass water, according to Charles.
So,
and others.
So it's not like, yeah, we're going to Cancun.
Yeah, you're not going to Tulum. It's Galveston. You could miss the trip. Then that's really the focus. The whole point is it's Galveston. Now, money was paid, so someone is booking what you might think is a pretty nice place for the family to go down there. The question is, what part of the family are you, like, just an older brother or an uncle?
Yeah.
Are you a father? These are other things.
The degrees of separation.
Yeah.
Is it mostly going to be, like you said, uncles and cousins?
Yeah. If you're the dad and the rest of – it's going to be a tough beat for you to not go.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for you to get out of it. But if you're, like – an older brother who, you know, you're living on your own or you're living with them, but you're still just the older brother. I mean, the younger kids and the other family can go too. I would say we need more information. But your safest bet is to take your PlayStation or Xbox with you and say, hey, I'm coming down here, but you know what? Maybe I'm not gonna take part in the walk along the water today. I'd rather play the video game. I'm not jumping in that water today. I'd rather play. You can be there.
Gonna turn in early.
These are things too.
Got to be recruiting.
Well, the question is, or maybe you just do play now games. You don't want people distracting you from recruiting, so you just play games. These are options, Pena. I just needed more information, but I would say the level of attachment to your families is the biggest thing. Would they even miss you if you weren't there? Think about it. Would anyone care if Pena wasn't there?
Oh, and that sounds mean.
Like, care a lot, I guess I should say.
I get what you're saying. That sounds...
Would it be so destructive to the experience if you weren't there? If you can justify not being there, sure, make up an excuse, because saying I'm staying home to play video games is a rough one to tell your family.
Yeah, I can get away with it because this is my job. So, you know,
yeah,
it's not exactly brain surgery. Yeah, and I don't work with John and Lance.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I'm hardly going to hold you in contempt.
Can we not keep it aired out on the morning show that week? Because I feel like I'm going to catch it hard.
I'm not going to bring it up.
Okay.
But if they ask me, hey, what are you doing on Opium Mates? Oh, I will say Mapes isn't here. And then if the question becomes, oh, what's he doing? Oh, he took a week off. That's what I will say. And if they dig deep, I will try to hold them off as much as I can.
Just play as good defense as you can.
Yeah, I'll be Reed Shepard. Instinctual
scrappy.
AI. I have good instincts. My IQ is pretty high. I'll try anything I can to keep you from catching it later when you come back. So, Pena, you got to judge. Will you even be missed? And if you are, how much so? And if it's going to be a problem, take the system with you. You ain't gotta be so active with the family the entire weekend. Get those games in, man. You gotta make sure you're ready once your dynasty begins to take whoever you love all the way to the title in the college football playoff. That's my advice. We were going to talk about the Texans and their and where they rank.
Something more important.
Yeah, guy needed advice. And if you have silly questions you want advice about, certainly call in.
It's a holiday show.
Yeah, you might get insulted. We might question how much your family cares about you. That's the risk you will take. 713-780-3776. So we'll talk about the Texans when we come back. We'll get into the college football stuff I alluded to earlier. And then we'll wrap it up. But before then, here's this break.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
Pena, I mean, I wouldn't bring it up because I'm not an awful person like Art, but, you know, there may be bad weather approaching. You might want to have your family check out the forecast and go, you know what, guys? Look, I know just maybe we push this back a week because of the weather that's coming. And, like, you just say it's going to happen in 10 days and say, hey, look, there's a storm coming. Sure, it doesn't look like it's going to affect Galveston directly. If you are of that mindset, if you're so desperate to avoid going to Galveston. And to be honest, Sean, if you just said, it's Galveston, why are we going? Shouldn't that be enough? Shouldn't that be enough? Why does it have to be this particular weekend? It's Galveston. Yeah.
Hold out for a better destination.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys are going to Cancun, maybe I would understand. But why are you so desperate to go to Galveston that weekend?
Maybe everyone doesn't have their passports or whatever, so Cancun, Tulum, off the Corpus.
Something.
South Padre?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, South Padre is actually a place that might get hit by Barrow in the next week or so. That's unfortunate.
They have until the 16th, you know. There's get in, get out.
Look, Pena, there's always a simple no. No, I'm not going.
No. You say can't do that.
You can't?
No, you can't. You can't.
He's willing to lie.
It's easier to lie. It's better to lie.
Sorry, I don't feel like it.
That's so much worse.
You apologize first, though. You said sorry. I'm apologizing. I just don't feel like it.
Sorry. Don't feel like it.
Exactly.
Sorry, Grandma.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the other thing, we don't know what the traveling party looks like. How many people are you disappointing? Is there a grandma that you love involved?
I got to take over Louisiana Monroe.
A great aunt. Yeah, Arkansas. Like, I love the waterfalls at Arkansas State.
They're in the game, Grandma.
I got to take them to a title on the first weekend. Moving on. Pena, good luck. Sean and I won't have that problem. He'll take the time off. I live alone, so I'm fine. I ain't got no one to answer to in this state. All my family is out of the state, so I don't have to worry about it. We will move on to the Texans. So we know a lot of hype around that team, a lot of belief in the roster. And a lot of that belief comes from the youth on the roster, guys who haven't hit their second contract, Nico Collins aside. He is one of those guys who got a deal this offseason. But he doesn't fit the profile of this ranking. Some of the things behind it, to rank 1 through 32, the best young rosters in the sport, from ESPN Insider, Aaron Schatz. Well, he sees on the Insider part of ESPN. Number starts made by players under 25 years old. Number snaps played by players under 25 years old. Some other things, value and length of player contracts, draft value added in the 2024 draft. So obviously some of the guys they took this year in this past draft, and expected key starters and reserves under 25 years old for the team in 2024. So a lot, there's some other things that go into it as well, but that's some of the basics. And have you seen this article, Sean, before I ask you to guess? Okay. We won't go through the list completely. 32 teams, don't have that time. But where do you think our Houston Texans sit when you consider some of the methodology behind it?
Probably fourth.
You are underestimating our team. How dare you?
Second?
They are number one. They have the best young roster.
I was ready to get mad.
Underestimating, not overestimating.
I thought you were asking me because they had them like, you know, underranked.
No, they are.
They put all the respect on their name.
All the respect. Some of the guys who have recently graduated from the list were Jalen Petrie and Nico Collins. So those guys would have been part of it just a year ago. Although I'm not sure Jalen Petrie would have been a compliment to the list considering how he's played.
Hey.
He has played a lot of snaps. I don't even know. I'm trying to go through them. How they rank them. And I'm not sure they say playing well as part of the equation.
That's also what I was thinking. That did cross my mind. I was like, wait, it sounded like it was all snap based.
Well, here it is. Quality of play of players under 25 years old, age adjusted to capture the fact that a 21-year-old of X ability will likely improve more than a 23-year-old player of X ability, and with extra consideration given to Pro Bowl and all pro selection. So yes, they do consider how actually good the players are. Okay. But Jalen Petrie wouldn't have helped. He didn't really reach any of the things that you would think would go, you know what? He would add to this number one team.
A lot of snaps.
He did play a lot of snaps. That is true. So in the paragraph, the Texans are easily the number one team on the list.
Easily.
Stroud is by far the number one young asset in the NFL. Goes into some of the stats. You know, he won Offensive Rookie of the Year. Then they get into Stingley. He's only 23. Of course, Stingley barely plays. But when he does play, he's very effective. That's my editorializing. He didn't write that. Then they get into Tank Dell, obviously. Tank Dell just at 24. So Tank's older than you think. He's 24 years old, but he still makes the list. Kamari Lassiter is another guy they like. And then they get into some of the offensive linemen. Keenan Green, who we don't know much about other than when he did play, it was ineffective. Christian Harris, so on and so forth. So best young roster in all of football, according to ESPN. Can you guess the top five?
No.
A couple of teams.
I mean, I can try, but
a couple of teams. Yeah, we don't have to go 1 through 5.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of like another.
So think about, apparently, depending on how you value a young quarterback, they're on the list. Think about a team who gave a lot of guys a lot of money this offseason. A lot of their young players, star players, a lot of money.
The Eagles.
They're younger players. The Eagles guys are older.
Well, they paid their guys too. I don't know how their receivers. Think of Saquon.
Well, AJ's Brown's older though.
Yeah,
he wouldn't count Saquon's older too. Think of a young team up and coming, had a good year, and they gave money to a lot of their young players.
Young team, up and comer,
made a playoff run.
The Lions.
Lions number two. They talk about Penei Sewell, Aiden Hutchinson, Sam Laporta, Amon Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Okay, so I was thinking. I was wondering if St. Brown was past the threshold.
Yeah.
I realize I don't really know.
I don't know the ages of these players. Yeah. I'm not looking up their ages. Yeah.
If you would have asked me at the start of the segment, who do you think is older, Jalen Petrie or Amon Ra St. Brown? I would have said Amon Ra St. Brown by like a couple years.
Yeah. Jalen Petrie's not even young enough to be part of the list. Yeah. Penei Sewell is 23. Laporte is 23. Brian Branch is 23. Terrion Arnold's a rookie. Amon Ra St. Brown falls under the 25-year-old. Okay. The Ravens are three.
I thought about the Ravens too, but I didn't know how deep.
A lot.
With the
Kyle Hamilton, Zay Flowers, Tyler Lindenbaum, all guys who are who are in their first or second years are now going into their third year. Really good players last year. Isaiah Likely is on the list as well. He's only 24 years old. You know what he did filling in for Mark Andrews. This one is all about potential. The next one. Think about it. Teams, a lot of high draft picks. Oh, hasn't done much.
Chicago Bears.
A different team in the NFC. Made a questionable decision, according to some people, when drafting a quarterback.
Packers.
No.
What?
Current. They just drafted a quarterback people are questioning.
Oh, I know, because there's only one other team in the NFC North that I haven't named.
Not the North.
How? What?
In the NFC.
Oh, I thought you said the NFC North.
Maybe I said that, but I meant the NFC.
Oh.
Think about a team, a lot of young talent.
Falcons?
There it is. The Falcons finished at number four, and they mentioned Michael Penix as a blue-chip player. Not sure how you do that when he hasn't done anything in the NFL. How do you put him on – how do you include him when he hasn't taken a snap?
He's also not going to play. They have a quarterback ahead of him.
That's the other thing, too. He's not going to get a lot of snaps unless Cousins gets injured, which is, you know, possible. Who knows? And number five, you mentioned the Bears. They are five. Okay. And they include a lot of their youth, guys who actually haven't taken an NFL snap, and Rome Odunze, Caleb Williams. And there are a number of guys who have just graduated from the list, like Braxton Jones and Jaquan Brisker, and obviously Justin Fields, who they traded. So that's the top five. Can you guess who's last? It's a team who's pretty good, and you might think of them as young, but with contracts, large contracts, and their players being right at the cusp of 25 or older, take a guess.
NFC or AFC?
AFC.
AFC.
Playoff team the last couple years, too.
Playoff team the last couple
they're
years.
They're last when it comes to young talent, mostly because their young talent is simply older and are in need of contracts, so already have one.
It's a team with young talent that just like are 26.
Yeah, 25, 26. They've already started paying their guys and have to pay other guys coming up here shortly.
Is the Dolphins?
There it is, number 32.
It was the have to pay other guys coming up, and I was like, I know who that
whether
is.
Whether it be Tua or Javon Holland and maybe Jalen Phillips at some point. They have paid Jalen Waddle this offseason, but a lot of their youth have gotten deals or are going to get deals very, very shortly, and they're right in that 24-year-old range or in 25. So they finished last despite you look at the bulk of their roster.
Yeah, you'd think
that's a young, talented roster. But money and contract value has played a part in the ranking. So Texans are number one. They'll see the Dolphins at 32. In fact, I mentioned a lot of teams they will see. They'll see the Lions this year. They'll see the Bears this year. And they'll see the Ravens too. So that just speaks to how tough the schedule is when three out of the other four teams in the top five, the Texans are going to see this year. And we know they lost to the Falcons last year, but we're not going to – that's the past. We don't talk about the past.
Old stuff.
Exactly. I don't want to bring up old stuff anymore. We got one more segment to go before we wrap it up for the week. I know it's weird, but I know someone tweeted at me, yes, for the most part, the station starting at about 6 p.m. The rest – we won't be back until Friday – or, I mean, next Monday, except for the Killer Bees. They're going to work on Friday. Shout out to them. Couldn't be me. Won't be me. I'll talk to you when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Just got a couple minutes before I'm done for the week. We haven't talked a lot about what's happened in the NBA outside of, you know, Reed Sheppard making his first appearance in Houston. A lot of fanfare in Toyota Center. He got confetti and streamers and cheerleaders guiding him to the dais. It was very collegiate, led us to a conversation about blue chips. But other teams are making moves. The first, this is expected. It's not surprising. It just so happened that LeBron James got like 72 hours of good PR saying, look, I'll take a pay cut if you can acquire a significant player that'll help us in our chase for a title. Turns out it was so damn complicated that there was really not a chance for them to do it. The Lakers weren't willing to give up anything the Warriors would have wanted, and the Warriors are kind of pushing a hard bargain. We'll get into some of that a little bit later, too.
It's especially great PR because it's good PR for LeBron, and
yes.
then immediately it's like terrible PR for the Lakers.
Yes,
where it's like
they're failing LeBron.
He's trying to give up money, and you cannot get a move to happen.
You're failing him, and in response, he took a 2-year, 52 per year, but $104 million deal. So LeBron gets $104 million over 2 years from the Lakers after telling the world he would have taken less. If they could have made a significant move, the Lakers couldn't pull it off. Rob Pelinka failed him. And he said, since you failed me, I'm taking all your money. So LeBron James gets a big deal. And his son, Bronny, gets a 4-year deal from the Lakers as a second rounder. It is rare to get that type of deal guaranteed for a second rounder. But we all know why. And J.J. Redick got a lie on her face talking about he earned it. I would respect you all if you just told me, you guys know what this is about, right? Do we have to have a conversation about it? Do you really want me to lie to your face? Please don't ask me to. I'd rather not.
J.J. Redick, just do we have to go through this charade?
Anytime they ask me about anything regarding Bronny, I would just say 23. What's that mean? You can figure it out. I would just say I would answer 23 every time they ask me about him. That's my only answer.
Also, if I was the Lakers, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I get he's young. I'm not sure I would sign Bronny to a longer contract than his dad. I'd want him, like, let's get those on the same schedule.
Now,
dad signs a 2-year deal, you're getting a 2-year deal.
Now it's low money for a second rounder, particularly a low second rounder.
Yeah, but, I can't imagine it's like guaranteed.
It's 4 years, $7.9 million. That's the overall deal. And, you know, it progresses as the contract goes on.
Is it 4 years guaranteed?
I'm trying to find. I thought I saw that it was 4 years guaranteed, but that might be what Rich Paul wanted, but I'm not sure that's what the Lakers gave him.
Yeah.
I'll look up. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I want to look up Bronny on Spotrac and see.
What happened to the game I love?
Yeah. I mean, come on. What am I doing?
Normally, I mean, even Jalen and Alperen Şengün, like, they didn't get 4 years guaranteed. Normally there's team option.
A team option, yeah. It's 3 years and a club option. So he does get 3 years guaranteed.
Wow.
That might be the basic second round deal. I'm not sure. I have to look up some other second rounders because that's where we are right now, I guess.
So, yeah, you know what, Del? You don't have to look up more second rounders. It's vacation.
I'm trying to inform the people.
Don't.
Okay.
We don't have time in this segment for you to look up second rounders, and I know you won't do it before.
I won't do it afterwards. There's no chance of doing that.
Why are you lying to us?
I'm J.J. Redick right now.
Really? You're going to look up? Oh, what?
I was going to look it up.
What deal did Kyle Filipowski sign?
I was going to look it up for now, but I'm not going to do it later. And I will just answer, Dell, did you look up the contracts for second rounders? 23. That would be my response to that, too. So, Bronny and his father are locked in L.A. Kyle Anderson is a Warrior. People think the Warriors should give it up. You lost Clay. Pack this thing up. Let Clay ride off into the sunset. But their answer is Kyle Anderson. And not only him, they're working on a sign and trade for Buddy Hield. So we lose shooting and lack of athleticism in Clay. We bring the lack of athleticism back in Kyle Anderson, and we bring the shooting back in Buddy Hield. We're going to go 2-for-1.
It's not exactly like Buddy Hield's a Skywalker either. Like,
yeah, but...
I think Buddy Hield the joke
works, I think, better if I mention Slow-Mo, which is his nickname. Kyle Anderson is a Warrior. Buddy Hield, they're trying to make a Warrior as the Warriors try to retool. And Draymond, on his podcast, told us that they were going to get Paul George until the Clippers said, you know what, we don't want to do that. The deal had all been worked out, at least from the Warriors' side. 4 years, max money for Paul George. The Clippers like, you know what we don't want to do? Trade him to you. We'll let him go to Philly for nothing.
I respect that.
I understand the spite. And the pettiness.
I made fun of the Lakers for not making any moves, or not being able to make any moves. What the Warriors are doing are just as bad, but they get to tweet out graphics with with basketball players in them. But I don't know how excited I'm feeling with the Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, Steph Curry lineup. I don't know.
Well, Kuminga's still there. Okay. They would rather have Andrew Wiggins not be there.
Brandon Podziemski is still there.
Yeah, they still have
Kevon Looney.
That second timeline they've always been working on in the last half a decade is still around.
Well,
Moody is still there, I think.
Not Wiseman. Well, not the second overall pick.
Yeah, that was a whiff. for them. Could have certainly extended the championship window if they had hit on that, but they didn't, and it happens sometimes. We've seen it across the NBA. So those are really the biggest moves of teams that have affected this city in certain ways, mostly negatively when we talk about the Warriors. So the Warriors are still in it. We know the Rockets are on a different timeline, but probably have a better prognosis for the future than the Warriors do. And the Lakers are the Lakers. They're clownish. And those two signings, maybe not giving LeBron $52 million per year, but giving him money after he told you he would take less if you could acquire someone that would help the team. And the only thing you did was sign Bronny. So he's taking all your money.
That is a good point, that the best move that the Lakers made is signing a 38-year-old or 39-year-old player to $50 million for the next 2 years.
Yes.
A year for the next. That $100 million to a 39-year-old. By far the best move.
At least Dalton Connect fell to them in the draft.
Steal.
And they didn't even have to do anything but to sit there. We'll do this quickly. Top five Big Ten coaches. Ryan Day, who's all in this year because if he doesn't win, he's in real trouble. Dan Lanning coming over from the Pac-12. Number two, Lincoln Riley. He's three. I'm not sure I agree with that. Jane Franklin, number four.
Bad list.
Wisconsin's Luke Fickell, number five.
That's fine.
And we'll stop there because now you get into Ferentz and Jonathan.
I was going to say, no Ferentz love?
He's six. And Jonathan
Ferentz over and Franklin.
I would too, despite the lack of offense. And Jonathan, well, Franklin will go, have you seen Drew Aller? There's a lack of offense here too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Michigan State, number seven, Jonathan Smith, the former Oregon State coach who left his alma mater to coach at Michigan State. We love Deshaun Freud here. Last, before we go, Deshaun Foster, the UCLA legend. I don't know if you know this, Deshaun Foster's coaching at UCLA in the 18-team Big Ten. Yeah, I know that sounds stupid, all of it. We're done for the day. I'm done for the week. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I will talk to you on Monday.
We did it!
ESPN 97.5.